Il Signore sia con voi.
E con il tuo spirito.
Dal Vangelo secondo Giovanni.
Gloria a te, oh Signore.
In quel tempo Gesù si manifestò di nuovo ai discepoli sul mare di Tiberiade e si manifestò così. Si trovavano insieme Simon Pietro, Tommaso detto Didimo, Nataniele di Cana di Galilea, i figli di Zebedeo e altri due discepoli. Disse loro Simon Pietro: «Io vado a pescare». Gli dissero: «Veniamo anche noi con te». Allora uscirono e salirono sulla barca, ma quella notte non presero nulla. Quando già era l'alba, Gesù stette sulla riva, ma i discepoli non si erano accorti che era Gesù. Gesù disse loro: «Figlioli, non avete nulla da mangiare?» Gli risposero: «No». Allora egli disse loro: «Gettate la rete della parte destra della barca e troverete». La gettarono e non riuscivano più a tirarla su per la grande quantità di pesci. Allora quel discepolo che Gesù amava disse a Pietro: «È il Signore». Simon Pietro, appena udì che era il Signore, si strinse la veste attorno ai fianchi perché era svestito e si gettò in mare. Gli altri discepoli invece vennero con la barca trascinando la rete piena di pesci. Non erano infatti lontani da terra se non un centinaio di metri. Appena scesi a terra, videro un fuoco di braccia con del pesce sopra e del pane. Dice loro Gesù: «Portate un po' del pesce che avete preso ora». Allora Simon Pietro salì nella barca e trasse a terra la rete piena di 153 grossi pesci. E benché fossero tanti, la rete non si squarciò. Gesù disse loro: «Venite a mangiare». E nessuno dei discepoli osava di domandargli: «Chi sei?», perché sapevano bene che era il Signore. Gesù si avvicinò, prese il pane e lo diede loro, e così pure il pesce. Era la terza volta che Gesù si manifestava ai discepoli dopo essere risorto dai morti. Quando ebbero mangiato, Gesù disse a Simon Pietro: «Simone, figlio di Giovanni, mi ami più di costoro?» Gli rispose: «Certo, Signore, tu lo sai che ti voglio bene». Gli disse: «Pasci i miei agnelli». Gli disse di nuovo, per la seconda volta: «Simone, figlio di Giovanni, mi ami?» Gli rispose: «Certo, Signore, tu lo sai che ti voglio bene». Gli disse: «Pascola le mie pecore». Gli disse per la terza volta: «Simone, figlio di Giovanni, mi vuoi bene?» Pietro rimase addolorato che per la terza volta gli domandasse: «Mi vuoi bene?» E gli disse: «Signore, tu conosci tutto, tu sai che ti voglio bene». Egli rispose: «Gesù, pasci le mie pecore. In verità, io ti dico, quando eri più giovane, ti vestivi da solo e andavi dove volevi, ma quando sarai vecchio, tendrai le tue mani e un altro ti vestirà e ti porterà dove tu non vuoi». Questo disse per indicare con quale morte egli avrebbe glorificato Dio. E, detto questo, aggiunse: «Seguimi». Parola del Signore.
Gloria a te, oh Cristo.
This morning for our homily, I wanted to just focus on this last section of the gospel passage, this dialogue between Jesus and Peter, which is predicated on two words, love and knowledge. You know everything. Now, I know that there is a scholarly debate about whether or not the distinctions I'm about to draw are actually real distinctions. In fact, I'm quoting in large part here by a blog piece by Monsignor Charlie Pope from the Archdiocese of Washington, my neighbor to my east, my home diocese in Arlington, Virginia, who wrote this article called "A Distinction Without a Difference" or "A Distinction to Die For," wrestling with the subtleties of John 21:16, Peter, do you love me? So there is a school of thought, including our own Sulpician Raymond Brown, who says that these distinctions in the word love that are used by Peter and Jesus in this exchange, and the word for knowledge used in this exchange, really don't amount to anything. That Greeks of Jesus's time would have used these words interchangeably without making any of the distinctions that perhaps eisegetes would perhaps introduce into the text. And moreover, the fact that the fathers of the church remain completely silent on this issue is something to think about, considering that they took apart every piece of scripture, looking for it in it within the folds of scripture, all of its various meanings and categories. Of course, I give this homily with a little bit of trepidation in light of the fact that we have someone with a biblical theology degree and someone from the biblicum here, but hopefully you'll allow me to give some insights based on what Charlie Pope has here to share with us. So again, let's review the words that are used between Jesus and Peter. And I think that they're important for us as believers, not only as priests, but also as disciples, because the end result of this dialogue actually has a deep connection to the basilica built over the spot 800 meters from here. And we'll see that at the end. So the words used in the text in the Greek for love, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? The word that Jesus uses for the first two questions about loving him is agapas. So we know what agape love is. It's unconditional love. It's love that is, you know, all for the other person. It is truly, in the true sense of the word, caritas, as Thomas defines it, loving the other as the other for the sake of the other, in Thomistic terms. And twice Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agapas me more than these? Meaning, do you love me like I love you, right? An all-out love that requires nothing in return. A lot of times people make this akin somewhat to the love a parent has for a child. They will do anything for their child. And twice in the first two responses, Peter responds, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The word for know is oidas. In English, oidas from the Greek basically means to say a perceivable, observable love. In other words, my acts demonstrate what I think or how I feel. And then Peter does not use the word agapas in return to Jesus. He uses the word philo, which is more fraternal love. So right away, the first two times the questions are asked, Jesus is talking on one level of love, and Peter is talking on a very different level of love, which is much lower. It's almost sort of like an intellectual love, a cognitive love, a fraternal love. Okay, but not the agapas that Jesus is asking that Peter has. He does not. Right? And he even asks him, using the word oidas, Peter says to him, Lord, oidas, you know, you see, you observed. Right? Now remember, this is, of course, in the aftermath of the triple denial. St. Augustine says that this triple reaffirmation is sort of the healing of Peter after that triple denial. But then we get to the third question. Jesus asks him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Phili es me. So now Jesus is dropping down and he's saying to Peter, okay, I know you're not at agapas. I know you don't love me. Twice I've asked you and twice you've said, Lord, you know, in terms of oidas, you see how it's gone. Not so well. I denied you three times after all. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to drop down to philia. All right, and I'm going to ask you, Peter, do you philia me? Do you love me, even in this fraternal love? And Peter's response is very telling. The word oidas now changes to the word ginoskes, a very different form of knowledge. Oidas means, again, perceivable, observable love. Ginoskes means a love that really peers deep into the truth of a situation. Like, it's not a knowledge of just merely observable forensic facts, but it's a knowledge that really goes deep down into the truth of the matter. So Peter says, Lord, You oidas everything. You observe everything. You genoskes that I philo you. Meaning, Lord, you see everything, but you see everything. And you know that my love for you is not agapas, it's philia. It's fraternal. Now, this is why Peter is hurt the third time that Jesus asks, do you love me? Because it's almost a drive home the point that, you know, Jesus is saying, Peter, I'm asking you a question about the kind of love you have for me. And Peter cannot come up with the right answer. He can't say in honesty, yeah, I have agape, unconditional, pour it all out and leave it all out on the table for you kind of love. I love you intellectually. I love you as a brother. I'm not where I should be. So what is the connection then to what happened 800 meters from our home here in Rome? On that hill out there was once a hill called Vaticanus. Right? I've got to wonder the day that Peter died, as he hung upside down on that crucifix in Nero's circus in there, Diocletian, which became Nero's circus. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Was he thinking back to the day of the gospel scene we just read in John 21? Because to die as a martyr, you can't have philia love. To die as a martyr, you must have agape love. There's no other way. There's no other way. And so I wonder if Peter felt, in a certain sense, kind of paradoxically, a little bit of redemption on the day that he gave his life as a martyr in 64 AD, nearly 2,000 years ago, 800 meters from the very place which we are offering this Mass. It's a wonderful metaphor for our own discipleship. Jesus is always asking us, agapas me. And the question we all have to answer daily is whether or not our response is also agape, or are we still stuck with Peter at philia? More of an intellectual, it's volitional, but intellectual, fraternal love, but is not the kind of love that he's asking of us. So we pray today that just as Peter found redemption, paradoxically in his martyrdom, at least the modern sense of redemption would say so, but for us, really getting to the heart of what the love for Jesus really requires, is complete pouring out of self. Might we consider the answer that we would give to Jesus daily, whether or not we can say agapaste, or whether or not we're still struggling at philieste. Let us pray today for the strength through the intercession of St. Peter and our blessed Lord himself to come to that realization, to come to that place, and to love our Lord as he deserves. Siudato Gesù Cristo. Sempre siudato.